Season 2 of Roots Ruck Riot, the grassroots rugby podcast with me, Ian Harries. Season 2 is shaping up to be a great one. A lot may have changed in rugby since our last episode. Louis Rees-Zammit is now an NFL player. Italy are good now. But what hasn't changed is our mission to shine as big a light as we can on grassroots rugby teams. This week, we're heading north and speaking to our first Scottish team. Scotland is the birthplace of the television, mammal cloning, telephone, penicillin, the MRI scan, the fridge, disposable contact lenses, the ATM, Billy Connolly, colour photography, the kaleidoscope, the flushing toilet, Finn Russell, fingerprinting, the steam engine, the vacuum flask, and tidal turbines. But most importantly for us, it's also the birthplace of the Hillfoot Vixens. The Vixens are based in Tillicoultry, a small town between Stirling and St. Andrews, which I probably butchered. I definitely got Stirling and St. Andrews right. And confusingly, near the River Devon, which I have just learned is a thing and is in Scotland. They are not only the first Scottish team on the podcast, but also the youngest. We're joined by captain and co-founder Christina to talk how a club goes from six players to over 30. This week, we are joined by Christina Swinton, who is the co-founder and, I did check with this before, head vixen for Hillfoot Vixens. Is it just Hillfoot Vixens or Hillfoot Vixens Rugby Club, or how are we going for that?
We're part of Hillfoot Rugby Club, so we're just Hillfoot Vixens.
Like, before we start anything, I was having a look through your social media and, like, the kit is on point.
Yeah. We've been waiting for it for a long time. We kind of held off to see numbers wise when was going to be the best time to order it. So we had a big day yesterday for a home game and we got to show off our new kit, which was really exciting.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, I mean, as a Wales fan, sometimes the kit is the only thing I can get excited about. So I'm a big fan of a good rugby kit.
Yeah.
And you are also the first Scottish club to be on the podcast, which is, I think, long overdue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, usually I will do a lot of research, find out who you guys are, what you've been doing and things like that. But you've only been going since September.
September, yeah.
And I think you've just played your second game. So
yeah.
That's awesome. But for research purposes, it's not great.
There's
for
not
me.
There's not much to go so, on here.
When you reached out, like you said, you're attached to another rugby club. Mm-hmm. How did this kind of process all start?
So the start of last summer, I met Jordan, who's our head coach and the team's co-founder. And he was looking to take on more of a coaching role in rugby to kind of start to slow down his playing career, if you like. So he had a coaching role at one club and then, you know, maybe some things weren't quite working out the way that he had hoped. So he approached Hillfoot, which was his home club, and basically said to them, I'd like to start a women's team if you support that. And he brought me on as co-founder with him. And it's just, I don't know, but it's just exploded. It's grown so quickly, much quicker than we anticipated, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Had you played before?
So I had played kind of on and off for 2 years at a local club, but I wasn't fully committed to rugby. I think I just didn't have the confidence. I maybe didn't feel empowered by the people that I was surrounded by at that club. So now that I've stepped into this role, I'm like a brand new person, like much more confident in playing, but just in growing the team as well. Like, I'm happy to reach out to people and, you know, like ask for sponsorship or put our name out there, go and speak to people about the team. But I never really felt that confident to do something like that before. So it's been a huge, huge change for me.
Yeah, no, I can imagine it. And it's, I'm guessing there's a lot of pushing and outreach to do when the club's still in kind of the very, very early days of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was reading, well, I mean, testament to the work you've been putting in then. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article that was about you guys.
Yeah.
And it mentions that you guys had, I think, six people come down to your first training session.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're, and I don't know if this number is higher now, but it's now 30 plus. For
yeah,
registered players.
I think we're sitting around 35 registered women at the moment. So again, it's more than what some local clubs have that have been going for quite a while. who we can see on social media, like they're sometimes struggling to get players for their games. And we've just, all of a sudden, we've got all these people, and the majority of them are brand new to rugby. They've never picked up a rugby ball until recently. And they've just got that confidence already to go out and play a game of full 15s, full contact, no issues at all. It's just amazing.
I'm always fascinated by it because I looked into it before, and I know Scotland is a very similar in terms of kind of percentages, mm-hmm. at least in terms of registered women's players have tripled, yeah. over the last, I think, 5-10 years, which mm-hmm. is incredible. And especially since, I don't know what it was about COVID, but since COVID, women's, yeah. rugby, especially grassroots, has just seemed to have exploded.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is kind of bringing, obviously, kind of, I think you mentioned for yourself, you'd played a bit before, but
mm-hmm.
weren't particularly happy with kind of the spot you found yourself in.
Mm.
What seems to be bringing other people to the club? Like, how can you, I mean, I'm asking for myself, I want to also, what, quintuple the registered players numbers?
Yeah. I think we've just made it such a positive environment, and it's a really welcoming club as a whole. I didn't really know many people at that club before I joined, but when I went to the first main committee meeting for the club, everyone was just really welcoming. They're open to listening to what you've got to say and hear your ideas. And I think they already have that kind of reputation in the Hillfoots area. So people know the club is there, and there's just not been people willing to drive a women's team in that area where Hillfoots is, because it is a small kind of county, I suppose, in the Ochil Hills in Scotland. And I know other clubs have tried to start a women's team, and it's just not really taken off, which is a shame. And I think that's why we're so shocked at how well it's done already. But as well, it shows that there was a want for it in the area.
Yeah, I was amazed to the point where I thought I'd searched the wrong place when I was reading the club, and it's like, oh, so
yeah,
this is where it's based, and it is a town of 4,500 people.
Yeah,
tiny. Which is, I mean, this that's very much the London-born side of me coming through there. But that's to have the numbers you've had, like you said, mm-hmm. in kind of an area like that is,
yeah,
incredible. So what does kind of grassroots women's rugby look like in Scotland? I think you kind of mentioned it there that you needed people driving the team around. So yeah. How spread out are we talking in terms of once you guys, and we'll talk about kind of what the future holds later, mm-hmm. but kind of once you are in kind of like a proper like league structure and things mm-hmm. like that, like what is that going to look like for you guys?
So from when we started, we have been in touch with a rep from SRU just to make him aware that we've obviously started the women's team. He's in touch with the club anyway for the men's team.
Yeah.
So it was just to kind of keep him in the loop that we were doing it. He very kindly put us in touch with organisers of an aspiring league in the Caledonia Midlands region. So in November, we went to an event that was put on. I think there was 5 or 6 other teams there who'd been in that league for a couple of years, and we showed up with the most numbers. I think we went with 16, so we had the most numbers, which was, again, amazing. That was only 2 months in. We had to help Berwick out with players because they didn't have enough to play against us. So we loaned them 4 of our girls as well. So it was really positive coming out of that, even just to say, like, we've shown up at this event and we had the most players, like, 2 months in. So we were then asked if we wanted to join the National Plate competition, which is on at the moment, but we thought it might just be a bit too soon to commit to those games, and you don't know,
yeah,
the level of the teams that you're going to come up against. They're not all going to be brand new like we are.
Well, I'm guessing if it's going on now,
mm-hmm.
you would have had to agree to that before you guys would have actually played a contact game.
Yeah, we'd only done, so the aspiring league games, they're just short. I think they're like 20-minute halves that you play. But
Perfect.
Yeah, nice and short. So from the beginning, we'd kind of trained for full contact and contested lineouts and scrums, but the other teams weren't in a position to play that way on the day. So we could have done it, but we couldn't. But it was more, I was concerned about putting too much pressure on people that are brand new to rugby by saying we've got these games coming up in a national competition, because I wasn't sure. I know that until people have played a game, sometimes they might get a bit scared off after the first game, especially when it's so brand new to them.
Yeah.
So I spoke with Jordan, our coach, and we made the decision together to not commit to that. And instead, what we've done is we've basically set up our own kind of mini league with local teams who are still quite new as well. They're maybe in their first year in a league. So we're just arranging home and away games with them right up until the end of May. And they are full 15s, full rules that we're playing to. And it just lets us grow our confidence a bit more, and hopefully we'll be in a position to join the league after the summer.
Yeah, because I think, see, I do my research.
Yeah.
I think the team you played most recently, was that also their first game? Or that particular part of the team's first game?
Yeah,
as well?
The Caledonia Thebans, their women's team. So we went and played them. We were away last month, and that was their first ever game. And then that's who we played yesterday. They came through to us for a return match. So yeah, really good.
And it's such, I think, a good introduction into things as well. Mm-hmm. Because, like, yeah, I think the phrase national tournament or national competition is terrifying if you've never played before. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that's kind of the right way to go with things.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of like the makeup of your team then, like the majority haven't played before since joining you guys.
Yeah.
What seems to have, or from your point of view anyway, what's made them decide to join?
So we've got a few who their partners play for the club on the men's team. And then we've also got some mums whose children play. So it's really nice that they're now, they've got their own section. We do have one of our players who the club, way back, I think it was in 2000, they did try and start a women's team, and it just didn't take off at the time. Obviously, interest has changed a lot in women's rugby over the last 20 odd years, but she did try back then. And I've spoken with her before and she said, I'm gutted that it didn't take off then, but she's still got the opportunity to play now, which is really nice. But I think for some people, it's just to try something new that they've never thought about, and now it's on their doorstep. They can do it. For some, it's a fitness thing or a social thing, even just to have a new group of friends and like supportive women around them that they've maybe not been able to find elsewhere. So I do think it's a mixture, but it's just so nice to see like such a wide age range and people from all different backgrounds as well just coming together. It's amazing to see it.
So like you said, you've got your own league, which is a weird way to phrase it, but that's the only way I could think of to say it.
Yeah.
As kind of like a, I guess, an introduction to rugby for both kind of the players, and I guess even the team.
Yeah.
I'm always fascinated by, so the club I've joined has been going for 60 years? 60 years? Oh, we should do something this year for that. Been going on for 60 years. I know a lot of, I don't know how long your kind of parent club has been around for, but I know a lot of rugby teams have been around for ages rather than for months.
Yeah.
So I think it's always taken for granted that generally they, even down to like playing style, like I know there are local clubs around here where it's like, well, these guys always play this way, these guys are always playing like that, and there's always a reputation's a bit of a loaded word, but you've got an idea of kind of who these clubs are and what they're doing. And I'm trying to phrase this in a way that doesn't involve the phrase the types of people, but you get what I mean, right? Like it's you have an idea of who these clubs are, or an identity. That's a better word for it. All of these clubs have. I might keep all of that in, or I'll just edit it down to me immediately getting the word identity. All of these clubs have an established identity in place. As the head vixen, is that something that you guys are, like, when you and Jordan started it, did you have an idea of, like, the type of club you wanted to kind of create, or is that something, like, obviously it would develop naturally anyway,
yeah, but
is it something that you guys set out to do, or is it something that is kind of the club is deciding as they're kind of moving along?
The club have been really good in letting us just kind of run with things.
Yeah.
They have said, and quite rightly, that we are one club. It's not that the Vixens are a club within the club. We yeah. are all one, which we are more than happy to have. We love being a part of the full club, so much so that our kit is so different to the men's kit. Our colours and everything are different, but we still have Helfitch use a ram as their logo. Yeah. So we have it on our kit, just as like a nod to, you know, that's still our home club.
Yeah.
But when Jordan and I started the team, we did say that we wanted it to just be a very open space for women to come, a safe space for them to come. And if anyone has any issues, that they can come to myself or Jordan or our captains, or we have two assistant coaches as well for the women. They can go to them. Like, we don't want there to be any kind of barriers or anything, whether it's to do with rugby or something completely separate. We just wanted to create something where people can maybe escape whatever else is going on in their life and come down for an hour and a half on a Thursday night and a Sunday morning and just forget about everything else and just focus on
yeah.
the rugby. And I think we've done a pretty good job of creating that so far. Obviously things change as new people come in, and you know, everyone kind of learns how other people play and how other people just are in life. But it's nice to see like little friendships forming, and you see people doing things out with training with each other, and it's really nice to see that as well.
You wouldn't have gone from 6 to, you know, mid-30s players if it mm-hmm. wasn't resonating with people either. So it sounds like yeah. you guys have definitely done an incredible job with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of talked about the new to rugby people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming, well, I mean, yourself included.
Yeah.
there are also people who have played previously. Mm-hmm. Is it just kind of the locality of it for a lot of people, or is there anything else that's driving more experienced players to you guys?
I think definitely for a lot of people, the convenience of where we are is, it's just what's good for them. There's a lot of small villages around the club, so it's easy for them to get to us. For others, I think they maybe come to a session or two and they see Jordan's style of coaching and our assistant coaches, Ross and Suzanne, as well. And they're also willing to spend time with people and work on what position everyone should be playing in and just build them up to be in that position. Like, it doesn't matter how much time it takes or how many times we need to go over something, they're willing to put in that time and just develop people to the point that they're really comfortable and confident in playing there. So I think it is a mixture of both, but there's definitely, I know that there's people who have tried at other clubs and they've maybe just not been able to get there every week because of where they are. So it's easy for them to come to us. We train in two locations. So on a Thursday night, we train at a local school on AstroTurf. And then on Sundays, we train at the club on grass. So there's options there. And there's no kind of pressure put on people. People maybe worry that they can't make a Thursday and a Sunday for training, and I'm like, it's fine. If you can make it to one session, it's totally fine, because you'll get caught up. No one's going to leave you out or expect you to just know what we've gone over. The team ourselves as players, we'll even help people like pick up, like we do different backs moves. So if someone's missed a session, like as a back line, we'll go through it with them and explain it. So everyone's willing to help each other out as well, which is really nice.
I love the idea of someone missing a training session and they just, that means they just can't pass left anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. You missed the one. We yeah. are never going to go over this material with you again.
You're done. That's it.
I get that's a very interesting point, I think, as well, of the training having both experienced players and people entirely new. It obviously makes, I think, training quite unique. And I think you yeah. get that with rugby especially, just because of how much you do have to learn if you've mm-hmm. never done it before.
Yeah.
I think finding that kind of middle ground between the basics in the introduction stuff, and then also, like you said, like your backs moves and all of the stuff that I never see because I'm in a scrum at the time. So you guys seem to have kind of, I think, found that midpoint. Again, if you're... Everything for me comes back to the fact that you've, like, quintupled your numbers, which is incredible. Yeah. So you wouldn't have done that if training wasn't working, and you wouldn't have done that if you hadn't created the kind of the environment to foster it.
Yeah.
I think that's a good picture of how things are now and what's going on and why you've created the club.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the future, obviously none of us can see what's going to happen, apart from, I'm hoping Scotland's doing very well in the Six Nations.
We'll see.
And this might come out after, so that could have dated either very well or very badly. But we don't know what's going to happen. But from your side, like, what are your guys... Obviously, joining a league is going to be kind of the big thing for you. Do you and Jordan have, like, an idea of kind of where you see the club and what your kind of next steps and kind of aims are?
I think at the moment we are only looking ahead to summertime. I am anyway, for in terms of all the organising and things that I do for the team. So we're hoping... We've been sent a checklist of criteria that was used before for teams who wanted to join the league. So we're just working our way through that, ticking things off in the hope that we can do it this season.
So not to give away the SRU secrets or anything, what kind of stuff is kind of on there? I'm assuming having players and some really simple tedious stuff, but kind of what other things would you be looking to do to kind of enter leagues up there?
Off the top of my head, so definitely numbers is a thing. So I think the ability to field a full team with subs, which we can do. We've proved that we can do that. Things like the coaches being accredited. So that's something we're working on to get everyone to the level they need to be, just so we can say all of our coaches are there. Competitive games need to have been played, and I'm sure this criteria is probably out of date by now anyway, but I'm sure it said something like 8 games, which is why I've just reached out to teams that are around us and just organised all of these games between now and the end of May. And then we log all of the games online with our team sheets and everything. So there's evidence that they've been played. It's not just like a run around in the park. Like, they are official games. So yeah, things like that. So we're just kind of working our way through, and then I keep in regular contact with the rep at SRU as well, just to kind of keep him in the loop of what we're doing and any fixtures we've got coming up. He knows they're on. I like to just be that little like bird on his shoulder, like, I'm still here.
Yeah, we're still doing it. We're still there.
Not giving up.
Fantastic. And then it's, I'm guessing it is then wait and see how the league goes, and then you figure out where your kind of next goals are from there.
Yeah, we have said already, if we do it, if we can get into the league, even at that point, we're not bothered about score lines at the moment. We just want to get everyone the game experience. And even because I'd played a bit before coming to Vixens, I knew like the relationships that you can build up with the other teams that you're playing against. And it's really nice, like, everyone's super friendly, and everyone get like, we'll stay together in the clubhouse after a game. So I'm trying to teach our players that's how it is.
Yeah.
It's not like a really aggressive thing where you're going to hate your opposition on and off the pitch. Like, it's not like that at all. And they've seen it already, which is, it's good, because that's like a big part of rugby in general, isn't it?
So. Yeah. It's good for 80 minutes. You can hate them for 80 minutes.
Once that 80 minutes is up, though, like,
try and keep it going during halftime if you can. And then afterwards, I have said things I will not be repeating on this podcast while on a rugby field, and then gone out with them afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we just want to teach them all of that. And then as well, our next kind of big step is there are some younger girls at the club who we want to keep interested in rugby, and we want them to have that kind of pathway from youth right up until senior rugby. So we've got between 6 and 8 over 12s at the moment. So that's our next kind of mission, is to grow that section as well. And they train at the same time as us, which is nice. So they can see what we're doing. They come down and watch the games as well, which is amazing. Like, to have them like watching us, and hopefully they're thinking like, that'll be me one day in that kit. So it's good to have that there.
Yeah, I think like one of the big things that has come out from talking to teams for this podcast is, if you have that like youth to senior connection, everything seems to be so much easier.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they would have grown up playing, they would have been seeing you guys playing, and like you said, it becomes a bit of kind of aspiration that one day they'll be out there. And I think especially for, well, I mean, again, speaking as a man, I definitely take it for granted, but I know that pathway and connection hasn't really been there in, I mean, I would arguably say female sport in general, but especially rugby, that you would you would get to the age where it's not mixed anymore.
Yeah.
And then the boys can go off and play under 15s, under 18s and whatever, and then you get to not.
Yeah.
And that seems to be it until university, where you have to hope you went to a university that had a women's team. I think it is really good for kind of those girls there that that's kind of being, I think, taken seriously and put in place. I think that's going to be huge for everyone.
Definitely. I'm hoping that we'll see the numbers continue to rise for them. I think what we might do is maybe go into some local schools, because one of our youth coaches, he does do like rugby in the schools as well throughout the week. But I thought if we can even get the captains in, so that it's a woman that's speaking to them about it, it might just pique their interest a bit more, and then get them along to training. They can just try it and see. I mean, I never thought I would be playing rugby. I'm 31 now. And if someone had told me 4 years ago, you're going to be playing rugby when you're 31, I would have told them absolutely not. So hopefully if we get them in a bit younger, we'll stick at it.
It's always interesting. And now you are playing rugby at 31. My brain just keeps going to like, right, so if I really look after myself, I've got like this many seasons left. If I really, really look after myself.
Yeah.
I think it's so, I'm really excited to see where kind of you guys end up. I think it's an incredible story. And like you said, I think all of the hard work, not just you, but I think everyone involved clearly, again, you don't get to something where you guys already are, which again, I've said already, is insane.
Yeah.
Like in the fact that we've been able to talk for half an hour about a club that has played single digit games, has been around for 5 months, like really, I think shows what you guys have been doing and the work you've been putting in. So I think it's incredible. I think it's going to be interesting, to say the least, definitely, where you end up. So we end each episode with the same two questions. First is, what would your message be to any future players looking to join your club?
I would say just come and try it. Come and meet the players that we have. Even come down to a social event before trying training, and meet the people that we have. And then, yeah, just try it, because you never know what you're going to enjoy until you've done it once. So yeah, I would say just get stuck in.
And secondly, which professional rugby player would you like to join your club? And you can interpret that in any way you want it.
Who would I pick? That's a difficult one, actually. I'm going to say, because not only because she's the daughter of the opposition's coach that we played yesterday, I'm sure, Rona Lloyd, who plays for Scotland. And I'm sure she'd help us out a lot on our team. she'd be great to have along.
I mean, who knows? You're 1 degree separated from her. So if anything, you know, if you stay on it, who knows?
Could happen.
And last thing to say, Christina, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and thank you to Christina for joining me. You can find the Vixens on Instagram at HillfootsVixens and on Facebook, and all links are in the episode notes. Roots Ruck Riot was brought to you in association with Ickenham Rugby Club and is a podcast nobody asked for. You can find Roots Ruck Riot on Instagram at Roots Ruck Riot.
If you want your club involved, please drop us a message there or email us at rootsruckriotpodcast@gmail.com. Please also leave us a review. It goes a long way to helping us spread the podcast, which helps us bring more attention to all of the work people are doing with grassroots rugby teams. Next week, we are following up our first Scottish team with our first Welsh team as we head to West Wales and the Cleethly Wanderers.